Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the privilege of sharing your word, Lord Jesus. I pray that it might find a resting place in our hearts today, that the living word of the living God may dwell within us for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters. I just long that we all know a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit on our hearts. In the mid-1700s, William Williams, who ended up as an itinerant minister in Wales, he went about the country preaching the gospel, and he was saved by Howell Harris when he preached in a churchyard, and he turned his life around. He gave his heart to the Lord Jesus, but he wrote a hymn, said, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land." And that was his life. He needed the Lord to guide him every day as he walked and rode around Wales. And he said he felt he was a pilgrim in a barren land. Now we can look at the landscape and the mountains of Wales, or we can look at the hearts of the men and women in Wales. Were their hearts hard? Were their hearts cold? He considered himself a pilgrim through that barren land. And the challenge is, where are our hearts today? You know, his view of a barren land was a dry and arid place with the appearance of being devoid of life. A desert place, a windswept and a barren land. A place you would not want to go. And several times over the past few weeks, various people have spoken and quoted passages of scripture, and I've read several myself over the same period which speak of barrenness, and primarily barrenness in not being able to have a child. But scripture also speaks about fallow ground, ground which gives the appearance of being lifeless. Ground which has been abandoned. You know, we can often feel like that, can't we? That things have passed us by. We feel empty. We feel abandoned. We cry, you know, where is God? Has God passed us by? Has God forgotten us? We hear what God's doing there. We hear what God's doing here. What about God doing here? Do I feel passed by, passed over, abandoned? But there's a difference, a huge difference between fallow ground and barren ground. Fallow ground's been set aside intentionally so that it might improve and increase its potential for new growth. And that whilst it and we might be considered lifeless, dormant, the ground is resting. It's gaining strength. It's being revitalized to support new growth. Just think about that. Even when it's fallow, some small growth takes a place around the edges for people and animals to glean. Cast down, but not cast out. Whereas barrenness is related to being abandoned, devoid of life, too poor to produce anything worthwhile, desolate, empty, a desert land, a bleak and impotent place, unable to support growth or new life. You know, as I said, there are many instances in the Bible where it talks about women who were barren, unable to have children. And I just want to use four such people. Genesis 11, it talks about Sarai was barren. She had no child. And not only that, she was now in her old age. And she'd known barrenness her whole life. Just think about that. What you expect when you get married, the joy, the hope, And the years go by, and the years go by, and you pray, and you seek the Lord, and you see nothing. And then in Genesis 29, Rachel, the one that Jacob loved, was barren. But Leah, his other wife, conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, "The Lord has surely looked on my affliction." Then we have another woman in Judges. "Now there was a certain man from Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children." And then we come to the New Testament, don't we? Zechariah's wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. There's a pattern emerging. Their whole life, we're talking about. Not just a case that it's difficult to have children and the miracles of modern technology and IVS and things like that. These women have been barren all their lives, and there was no intervention for them that they could see. None of their situations had just happened. It had been the case for many years. They were advanced in years and would have gone past hope. Their situation seemed hopeless. The feelings of desolation, of emptiness, of worthlessness, weary, simply worn out and deserted, devoid of energy, motivation, or life, or joy. But it says in Isaiah, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Do you think that's what those women felt? Despised, rejected, worthless. But I notice we've got a picture on the wall in our bedroom, one of these kind of arty things that have words written on them. And the word says, "When the world whispers, give up, hope whispers, try one more time." Which led me to the passage in Luke 5 where Jesus got into one of the boats, one that belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Pull out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon replied, "Master, we've worked hard all night to the point of exhaustion and caught nothing in our nets." Do we feel like that? "But at your word, I will do as you say and lower the nets again." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish in their nets that they began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up onto the shore, left everything, and followed him. What a turning point in their lives. What a turning point. You know, do we see turning points in our lives? You know, when I was in my late teens, early 20s, we had a gospel group which was called The Turning Point. Why was it called The Turning Point? Because what we wanted was to see people's lives turn to Jesus. And when we sang, that's what we sang. And we wanted to see lives turned round, lives changed. Matthew 11:28 says, you know, to the weary, you're feeling weary, come to me, all who labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Times of refreshing for the people of God. And bless me, in Ruth 4, the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better than 7 sons, has borne him. Isaiah 35 says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. God intervenes in the affairs of men. God's provision is for all of us, and God's provision is limitless. And Isaiah says, and we will rejoice as the desert, the arid, the desert place blossoms as a rose. And why is that? What causes that to happen? In my experience, it's rain. In my experience, it's a downpour. And in an instant, the dry and arid land of 5 minutes ago blossoms. And when the Holy Spirit moves on our hearts and anoints us afresh, what do? We sing and we dance and we give God the glory. How can that happen? Because the Lord Jesus meets the deep recesses of our heart, the deep longings that we've got. He comes and refreshes us. He comes and anoints us. He comes and brings joy to our hearts. All the heavy burdens are lifted. All the angst, all the bitterness, all the sorrow, all the thought of abandonment can disappear in an instant when Jesus comes. Has he met with you this morning? Has he met with me this morning? When we gave the shout of victory, was that because of a living knowledge of Jesus in our lives? Has he turned our mourning into dancing? Has he put off our sackcloth? Our scripture says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And Jesus would say, nothing's too hard for me. I'm working out my purposes. As he did with those four women. Let's pick up the story again in Genesis 18. The Lord said to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Staggered at unbelief that the Lord has said, you will have a child. And then the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. At the set time, not a minute earlier, not a minute later, at the set time, in our experience with the Lord Jesus, he will come. And Abram called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah had borne to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all "Who here will laugh with me?" She also said, "Who would have said to Abraham and Sarah that Sarah would nurse a child? For I have borne him a son in his old age." Can you imagine the time of rejoicing in the camp? There would be a shout in the camp. That old lady's just had a child. Unbelievable. And Rachel. Genesis 30. "Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, 'Give me a child or else I die.' And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel and said, 'Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of your womb?'" It goes on, "And God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son and said, 'God has taken away my reproach.' So she called his name Joseph and said, 'The Lord shall add to me another son.'" Amen. Let's look at Mahanah's wife. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to Mahanah's wife and said to her, 'Indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son.' And Mahanah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die because we have seen God.' But his wife said to him, 'If the Lord had desired,'" you know, wisdom of women, isn't it? "'If the Lord had desired to kill me, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all the things that are to come, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time.' So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him." And then in Luke, "The angel said to Zechariah, 'Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years.' And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people.'" These are women who thought any hope of having children had gone, and the angel of the Lord came to them, and the power of the Almighty came upon them. You know, do we feel that life has passed us by? Do we feel we've not fulfilled God's plans and purposes for us, our potential as those of the redeemed of the Lord? Do we feel that? Or do we look to the Lord Jesus and say, "Father, I believe your word to be true. What you've spoken to me, what you've planted in my heart, although I be advanced in years, I believe you're going to do it. Although our fellowship has been here a long time, I believe you're going to do it." Amen. I'll just read you a few bits from Hezekiah's revival. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, right? Julie wanted to get the young people out to sing with her this morning. Hezekiah was 25 years old. The vast majority of us are past 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And he opened the doors of the temple, and he told the priests to sanctify themselves. And he said, "My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense. And then King Hezekiah rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, and went to the house of the Lord. Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offerings on the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord also began, with trumpets and with instruments of David, king of Israel. What did Julie ask us to do this morning? To sing the song of the Lord. When we come and offer our sacrifice of praise, to sing the song of the Lord on the instruments that David had given us. And it talks about, and those instruments were loud instruments. And the hand of God was on Judah to give them singleness of heart. And the whole assembly of Judah rejoiced. Also the priests and Levites, all the assembly that came from Israel, the sojourners who came from the land of Israel, and those who dwelt in Judah. So there was a great joy in Jerusalem, more than since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. There had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. How big is our imagination? We just come and praise the Lord. We sing the song of the Lord. That is in the plans and purposes of God, that he might do great and wonderful things in our midst and with us. There's no difference. We're a fellowship made up of individuals. When God moves on lives, he moves on all of us. When God moves on this fellowship, he moves on all of us. It's not something we look at from afar. It is something which we are absolutely engaged in. The barrenness, the disappointment, the frustration, the abandonment that we might feel in our hearts, God has come to turn our sorrow into joy. He's done it. Scripture tells us. There's four instances as I've read. And then goes on to say in Habakkuk 2:3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And in the Amplified it says, for the vision is yet for the appointed future time. It hurries towards the goal of fulfillment. It will not fail. Even though it delays, wait patiently for it, because it will certainly come. It will not delay. Hezekiah's words for us, you know, and we look round at this seemingly barren land in which we live. But I was sorting through some paperwork early in the week, and I found this, and I think I've shared it with you before, and certainly Lou shared it at the house group this week. It's an article from St. John's Church, from the Reverend Bowden, who was vicar of St. John's from 1934 to 1944. And he says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. This promise was given to us in January 1934. It was wonderfully fulfilled. The ground was prepared by the Reverend Reed during his 33 years of ministry. It was said when he died that he left behind him a church in which there was no worldliness, no Romanism, no modernism. Also, three elderly ladies, regularly met together to pray that God would send revival to Parkston. This is in the days of my dad and mum. And when Reverend Claude Owens came in 1929, he went through the district like a flame of fire. And so great was the harvest of souls resulting from the happy and loving ministry that he had to enlarge St. John's Church by adding the North Aisle and also by building the Church of the Good Shepherd. Many are now in heaven and others on their way there today because he led them out of Egypt. So with the help of men like Walter Wright, Elwin Cobb, Gordon Bullman, Douglas O'Hanlon, Jack Bone, and Harold Peacock, together we sought to keep the fire burning while the Holy Spirit fanned the flames. What a conflagration. The church was filled to capacity with eager worshippers. The whole congregation, led by the choir, poured out into the grounds and continued the service in the open air. The prayer room was built. On dark or wet nights after meeting, followed the evening service. On dark and wet nights after meetings, followed the evening service. Men and women's fellowship, as well as campaigners, became powerful weeknight activities. Young people went into full-time service for the Lord Jesus Christ, and young people saved and blessed in those days and since have provided church wardens, leaders, and workers for whom we thank God today. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, was fulfilled. This same promise still holds, and the best is yet to come. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that your promises are yea and amen. I pray, Father God, that you'll strengthen our arm as we look for the fulfillment of your promises to this fellowship, in this time, in our generation. That we might see men and women going into the full-time service of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we might see souls saved, hearts turned around, lives renewed, abandonment turned into joy. Father God, in your mercy come. Hasten the time, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we may be those full of joy who rejoice and overflow with the joy of the Lord. For your glory's sake, none else can do it, Lord Jesus, and we look to you today. Amen. Amen. Amen.